Chapter 1. Ye Blind Guides, April 1915. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. On the night of 13 April 1915, on Ypres salient, a figure slipped over the parapets of the German trenches north of Langemark. The moonlight revealed a German soldier, Private August Jaeger, an automobile driver attached to the 234th Reserve Infantry Regiment. Jaeger, perhaps disillusioned by a soldier's life, was deserting. The French trenches lay several hundred yards away across the corpse-littered expanse of no man's land. Neither the French nor the Germans had been sending out many patrols during these balmy spring nights, and both sides had assiduously avoided causing any commotion. In fact, on many occasions, the common soldiers had fraternized in no man's land, so there seemed little likelihood of running into trouble on the journey across. Jaeger crossed without incident, and before midnight he had turned himself over to men of the 4th Battalion of Chasseurs. In no time at all, he found himself marching away from the hated Western Front, escorted by several cheery poilus. But first he was to be interrogated at the headquarters of the French 11th Division. This interrogation should have changed history. The deserter talked freely, giving detailed information regarding trench strengths and routines. Jaeger even pointed out his own commanding officer's report center on the road north from Poelcapelle. The last house in red brick on the left of the exit. But what really startled the interrogator was the last portion of the ex-chauffeur's statement. An attack is planned for the near future against the French trenches. With this object in view, four batteries have been placed in position in the first line trenches. These batteries each have 20 bottles of asphyxiating gas. At a given signal, three red rockets fired by the artillery, the bottles are uncorked, and the gas on escaping is carried by a favorable wind towards the French trenches. This gas is intended to asphyxiate the men who occupy the trenches and to allow the German troops to occupy them without losses. In order to prevent the men being themselves intoxicated by the gas, each man is provided with a packet of tow steeped in oxygen. When General Edmund Ferry, commanding the French 11th Division, read the prisoner's statement, he was shocked. The idea of asphyxiating gas boggled the mind. Yet there seemed no reason to doubt Jaeger. Despicable as his actions may have been, he certainly appeared to be telling all he knew. If he was making up the story, then to what end? Ferry decided to act at once. He ordered the forward lines thinned out to avoid casualties, and instructed his artillery to attempt to rupture the buried gas cylinders. Ferry then sent an officer to warn the 28th Imperial Division on his right and advise the Canadian Brigade, which was due to relieve some of his own troops that night, to exercise the greatest vigilance and to seek suitable means to prevent inhalation of gas. These reports, plus copies for his own corps and army headquarters, were sent at noon, 14 April. We thus thought we had done, as quickly as possible, everything necessary to avoid surprise, the effect of terror, and the heavy losses which the Germans counted on inflicting with this new and abominable weapon of war. In this manner, Ferry's information regarding this new threat was introduced into the maze of command structures responsible for the Ypres salient. The French divisions, including Ferry's 11th, came under General Henri Gabriel Putz, who, though French, was in turn subordinate to Albert, King of the Belgians. These French forces were also part of the Groupe Provisoire du Nord, under the command of General Ferdinand Foch at Kassel. As representative of General Joffre, commander-in-chief of the French army, Foch was responsible for coordinating operations with the British and Belgians.